the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Thursday morning. Is it Thursday? Thanks for coming and joining us here. You know, I get down here and turn the get logged on like the rest of you do, and get into conversations with Jeff and Larry and others that are in the queue, and then kind of gets me distracted and heading another direction. And that's not bad. That's not bad, because I prepare a show and come down here. It's you know, we go whichever way the Holy Spirit takes us, whichever way we're supposed to go. And I've been really, really this morning, really. See, we had a great show yesterday with Edwin Vieira. If you didn't get a chance to see that, by the way, go back and check it out. And we're reminded that the scriptures tell us that my people are destroyed. Can somebody finish that statement for me? My people are destroyed. Why are they destroyed?
Your lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
From the lack of knowledge.
Hosea 4:6.
My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are, he said. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So I struggle every day when I come down here and try to do the show and prepare a lively discussion and all that. What is my job? Is my job, the job of this show, to be a Bible teacher? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Is the job of my show to come down and to bring you secular information? Is that part of my job? Is my job to come down here to open up scriptures and argue and debate? Not, I guess, not the right word. Debate back and forth on what the scripture means and on theology. What exactly is the show? And I was really, really struck yesterday when Dr. Vieira got done. For those of you who don't know, he stayed with us for a half hour after the show was over in the queue. He didn't want to go away. Finally getting an audience to listen to this great legal scholar. And then when the show's over and I go up and I'm reading my emails, and what do we want? Do we want truth? Do we want just Bible truth? Or do we want to be able to take what we know from Scripture and apply it to where we are? Do we want to go back and, in order for us to really figure out how we got in this mess, don't we think we need to go back and look how we got in this mess? And that the real battle that we have inside and outside the church is a battle over truth. It's truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. I'm the truth. And I was having the discussion with my wife before I came down today and said, why won't Christians stand up for truth? Why won't the Christian church stand up for truth? And I got thinking about the homosexual mafia and Chick-fil-A and drag queens at the libraries. And the lie, I asked my wife, how can we be in a culture, in a society full of Christians, full of church-going Christians? Well, maybe not full of them, but certainly embedded with church-going, claiming to be Bible-believing Christians, and be deceived into thinking that a man can become a woman if he just chooses to. How can a Christian organization, call that whatever you want to, how do we reach the point where we accept that foolish notion. How does that happen to us? How do we reach the point in America, in Christian America, where people actually believe abortion is not killing a baby? I understand how the lost get. I understand how the lost get there. They have no truth. They're not standing on any truth. How can we, if Jesus Christ is the truth, if he is the way and the truth and the light, how come we who bear his name aren't defenders and progenitors, is that the right word, of truth? How can we be in a culture and society where we're taught, but with the likes of Oprah Winfrey, that if you believe it, that is your truth? How can we as Christians, salt and light in this culture and this society, accept such foolishness? And how can something be true for you and not true for me? How do Christians accept that? We were having a discussion off the air before we came on the air of why Christians don't get actively involved in standing up and pushing back against the lies, the truth. And on my show notes, I make show notes every day before I come down. Connor, let's go right there right now. Connor, let me see. I'm sorry, buddy. Because this is where my heart was even before I came down and started talking to these guys this morning. Let's go to I'm sorry, Connor. Go down and click on where it says truth has fallen. Truth has fallen. Truth has fallen. How does something fall? How does something fall? Well, it can only fall if whatever was holding it up lets go of it. And it can only fall if one of the, let's say you're talking about a chair and one of the legs gets knocked out of it, then it will fall. How do things fall? And how do things?
They have to be elevated before they can fall. If they're not elevated, if they're not up there, they can't fall. Everybody that's been on a boat knows that. If it's on the deck, it can't fall.
Larry, great point. If it's just sitting on level ground with everybody else, then truth is not elevated. Truth stands above stuff. That's as Larry just, great point, Larry. Because truth is elevated, then it's able to fall. But if truth is not elevated, if you have your truth and I have my truth and we all just have truths, then nobody's elevated. And it tells us here, Tom, did you pull it up here? I'm sorry, man. Let me find my own spot here. Truth, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood. That's us, right? You say, well, not me. Well, yes, it is. It's in them. We're responsible for all this. Your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Nobody calls for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. Nobody pleads for truth. You have your truth, and I have my truth, and let's not fight about it. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief, they bring forth iniquity. They hatch eggs and weave spiders' webs, and he that eateth the eggs die, and he that the web of their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in the past. Way of peace they know not. There is no judgment. There's no judgment in their goings, and they've made them crooked paths. Whosoever go there and shall not know peace. There is judgment far from, therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. We brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the law like blind, and as we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble as like it's noonday, like it's dark. We roar like bears and mourn like sore doves. We look for judgment, but there's none for salvation, but it's far off. For transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and our iniquities we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, lying against the Lord, lying against the Lord. See, if you are not standing up and you are not witnessing for the Lord, you are lying against the Lord. You're lying against the Lord. If you are living, if you are a Christian, you are accepting homosexuality as normal, you are lying against the Lord. If your church believes that there's such a thing as homosexual marriage, you are lying against the Lord. If you believe that an unborn baby is not a human being, you are lying against the Lord. Do you see that? Against the Lord. You're lying against the Lord. And departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolting, conceiving and uttering from the heart, words of falsehood, things that are not true. The church is uttering things that is not true. They're not true. And judgment is turned away backward and justice stands afar off. Why? Because truth has been knocked off its perch. That's why. Truth has fallen in the street. Now, boys and girls, why would the Lord say the truth has fallen in the street? Why does it say the truth has fallen wherever? It fell on the hill, or truth fell off the shelf, or whatever. Why? What is the significance of in the street? What goes on in the street? Well,
everyday living.
Everyday activities of life are done in the street. And Isaiah says the problem is truth has fallen out in the street. See, we take the church and we bring people into the building and we try to uphold truth inside the building, but we feel no responsibility or no requirement or no conviction to hold up truth in the street. Why we're in the mess that we're in. I watched a little bit. I got to show you this. Hey, Jared.
I was just going to.
Go ahead. Hang on while you're talking. Just a second, Rod. Hey, Jared, go ahead and get Michael Turner. Get that thing ready to go to the 2-minute mark. Go ahead, Rod.
So, that's the truth. Most of my church going friends would agree with much of what is shared on this program. They just have no desire to go do anything except mercy ministry.
Mm-hmm.
They're all into mercy ministry, but they would not be opposed to the whole issue with gays and transgender and evolution. And they would all sit there and agree and talk about it and being upset about it. There's just no fight.
Why is there no fight, though? Why is there no fight? Why?
Well, I don't think... there's nobody that, and I'm not sure if this, there's no leadership to help them move forward.
We haven't been told it's worth fighting for, see?
Well, that's true.
We don't understand the consequences of truth falling in the streets.
They don't want to be persecuted, Roger.
Coach, they also don't want to realize and understand they've got confused on the word warning and on the word judgment. They've been confused on those two things. I don't want to judge anybody. I'm not going to quit because it's judging. No, you're warning them. You're not judging them. The word of God's our judge. We're warning them.
That's right. And it is love. It is an expression of love. Warning is an expression of love, right? And so we bought into this. Who planted this lie in our brains, by the way? Now, I want to show you this because to me, this is extremely critical, right? Yesterday in the impeachment, whatever you call that thing that's gone on, in the morning, after the morning session was over, this guy, this Ambassador Sondland, testified in the morning. They took a break, and Schiff goes out and announces to the world that Sondland said there was a quid pro quo. Schiff said that. He went out and announced it, and it ends up on the cryon or the cover of CNN. Ambassador Sondland throws Trump under the bus. Quid pro quo becomes the headlines, and CNN starts talking about it on and on and on and on and on with no concern at all about the. See, folks, if you were in a court, this has happened to us, Roger. Sorry, in the courtroom. If I'm charged with a crime and I go into court and I hire my friend Roger Weaver as my attorney, Roger Weaver's job is not to get out the truth. Roger's job is to get me off. That's Roger's job. And unfortunately, the prosecutor's job is not to throw me in jail. The prosecutor's job is supposed to be justice. But see, the prosecutors don't mind lying in order to win. You see where I'm going? They don't mind. If they win and lock you up, they don't care whether it was justice or not. Their job is to lock you up. And Roger Weaver's job, no matter what he has to do, is to make sure I don't get locked up. There's no truth. Not a battle for truth. So it hit CNN yesterday, headlines. Adam Schiff goes out and tells the world, yep, Sondland, he did it. He ran a truck over Trump. We have our impeachment charge all over the world. And Michael Turner, an Ohio representative, this is about 5 minutes. We're not going to watch it. Michael Turner comes back and watch this. Just watch this, folks. Because, see, the average person is not watching this and understanding what's going on. So, therefore, they're believing what CNN tells them. And why did Schiff go give the press conference midway through it? Because he wanted CNN to get that lie out there. We want justice, don't we? Do we want to get Trump impeached or do we want justice? Does Schiff want Trump impeached or do they want justice? Well, in their mind, getting him impeached is justice, and they're going to create the evidence to do it. So Michael Turner, they take a 15, 20-minute break, whatever. Michael Turner from Ohio comes back and says, wait a minute, dude. When I just watched CNN, and they said that you said that Trump said there was a this for that. There was a this for that, a quid pro quo. CNN saying, you said that, Ambassador Sondland. Started at the two-minute mark, and watch this.
The question I have for you is, did you ever have a conversation with Giuliani that did not involve Volcker? Because your testimony is a lot of we's and us's. So do you and Giuliani have a separate conference, separate phone call where Giuliani told you that the aid was tied? Because Volcker says, and if he was on all your phone calls, Volcker says that never happened.
No, I did have a few conversations. I don't recall how many because I don't have the records with Mr. Giuliani directly when Mr. Volcker wasn't available. I don't believe I testified that Mr. Giuliani told me that aid was tied.
Oh, I think, see, this is part of the problem, Ambassador Sondland, and I just want to walk you through this, is you've said to us everyone was in the loop, and everyone knew. Now, hold on a second. I've listened to you today, as a lot of people. And not only are your answers somewhat circular, frequently you've contradicted yourself in your own answer. Now, the text messages and emails that you put up there, Kurt Volcker walked us through, and he has a completely different understanding of what you were saying than what you're saying you were saying. So I'm a little confused as to how everyone's in the loop, because if Giuliani didn't give you any express statement, then it can't be that you believe this from Giuliani. Now, let me tell you right now, because is Donald Trump your friend?
No, we're not friends.
Okay. Do you like the president?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, after you testified, Chairman Schiff ran out and gave a press conference and said he gets to impeach the president of the United States because of your testimony. And if you pull up CNN today, right now, their banner says Sondland ties Trump to withholding aid. Is that your testimony today, Ambassador Sondland, that you have evidence that Donald Trump tied the investigation to the aid? Because I don't think you're saying that.
I've said repeatedly, Congressman, I was presuming. I also said that President Trump...
So no one told you, not just the president. Giuliani didn't tell you. Mulvaney didn't tell you. Nobody, Pompeo didn't tell you. Nobody else on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying aid to these investigations. Is that correct?
I think I already testified.
No, answer the question. Is it correct? No one on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying this aid to the investigations. Because if your answer is yes, then the chairman's wrong and the headline on CNN is wrong. No one on this planet told you that President Trump was tying aid to investigations. Yes or no?
Yes.
So you really have no testimony today that ties President Trump to a scheme to withhold aid from Ukraine in exchange for these investigations?
Other than my own presumption.
which is nothing. I mean, that's what I don't understand. So you know what hearsay evidence is, Ambassador? Hearsay is when I testify what someone else told me. Do you know what made-up testimony is? Made-up testimony is when I just presume it. I mean, you're just assuming all of these things, and then you're giving them the evidence that they're running out and doing press conferences, and CNN's headline is saying that you're saying the President of the United States should be impeached because he tied aid to investigations, and you don't know that, correct?
I never said the President of the United States should be impeached.
Nope, but you did. You have left people with the confusing impression that you were giving testimony that you did not. You do not have any evidence that the President of the United States was tied to withholding aid from Ukraine in exchange for investigations. I yield back.
Okay, so there you are, right? Truth. There is no truth, right? There is no truth.
Amen.
Has fallen
Amen.
In the streets, folks. So we're looking at a, as Doug Hagman says, not a justice system. We're looking at a legal system. And boys and girls, can I tell you, the genesis of this broken justice legal system, call it whatever you want to, is right there in Isaiah 59. Truth has fallen in the street. And by the way, whose job is it to uphold the truth? Is it the secularists? Is it the God haters? Is it the Muslims? Is it the Buddhists? Whose job is it to uphold the truth? Why, I believe, well, thank you, Lord. Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is given. Unto us a son. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His shoulders, the church, the body of Christ, are the ones who are to uphold. God, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Shoulders, body. The body of Christ are the one who are supposed to be upon whose shoulders the government is sitting. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace. See, those two are tied together. Good government brings peace. There shall be no end. And it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Who is going to bring truth and justice? Can somebody tell me, who is responsible in this culture and society in which we live? Who is responsible for truth and justice?
The church.
The church.
The pulpit.
Us.
The pulpit.
Us. Us.
Well, that's true. The church. That's true.
The church that knows the difference between truth and error. That's the church that can do it.
That's right. Only one that can, Randy. The only one that can.
Well, the church needs to get informed. They need to look at these shows and alternative media. They have no. They do not know where to get the truth. All they have is the media.
That's exactly the point I started out with. What is this show supposed to be? Is it just supposed to be a Bible study? Or is it supposed to be a show where I bring in a guy like Edwin Vieira and shows us how we've been lied to? We're in this mess because truth is falling in the streets. Because I hear from people say, well, Coach, give us more Bible. I don't want to hear about the culture and the society. I don't want to hear about, give me more Bible. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? It's the application of the Bible.
Coach, mic drop. You said, who's responsible? Us. We are. Those of us in the queue. Those of listening right now. We are responsible. And we can't sit by waiting for, quote, the church, because the church is a satanic social club. It's not a church. We're the church.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's why the church is irrelevant today, in today's culture, because they don't relate culture. They don't relate the Bible to what's happening in the culture. So there's two different worlds. There's the inside the four walls world, and then
they're not holding up truth, Glenn. They're not holding up the truth. And because they're not holding up the truth, it's fallen in the streets, out where everybody else roams. Truth, they're telling us Bruce Jenner is a woman, and the church doesn't say a thing. They tell us young kids are born opposite of the sex that they are, and that they can choose their own gender, and the church doesn't say a thing. Now, wait a minute. Church might say something within the four walls, but not out in the street. See, not only is truth fallen in the street, it's fallen in the building. It's fallen inside the building, so they can't take the truth to the streets. We're judgmental and bigoted and hateful, and throw whatever words you are out there. Truth's fallen.
Hey, Coach, read Ezekiel chapter 3, Coach, 18 through 21. Just like what Roger was saying earlier, he needs to show this to his preacher. Read them three real fast, Coach.
Well, I don't have it in front of me. You read it for me.
All right, Ezekiel chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 18. When I say unto thee, say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doeth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doeth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul.
Okay, so here, but here, so listen, I thank you, Alan. Listen, see, there used to be a time in America when the church was the one who determined the laws. The church did. We used to have a death penalty. The death penalty for those who committed murder. Why did we have a death penalty? Because it was based on the Bible. By the way, folks, I don't know if you know this or not. Jesus got the death penalty. You know, they not only beat him, they hung him up. They crucified him, death penalty. And the thief on one side says, come down here, pull yourself down there and save us. We don't deserve this. And the other one on the other side said, shut up, dude. We're getting exactly what we deserve. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, with all the world watching him and all the world recording, Jesus didn't say there should never be a death penalty. This is such injustice. They should never do that. The guy on his right said, we're getting exactly what we deserve. And what happened? All of a sudden, come creeping in this idea that somehow the death penalty was inhumane. And what is the stance of most of the church today? Why, the death penalty is inhumane. Really? It was the system of justice that the Lord gave us. God gave us that system of justice. But we let human emotion and human experience come in. And you know what's happened, Robert? Truth's fallen in the streets.
Well, that's true, Coach.
We used to castrate rapists. We used to cut off their penises, right? We do that anymore? Well, no, we can't do that. That's not very Christian anymore, is it, to do that? See? Go ahead, Robert.
Coach, the revelation that says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his bondservants, the churches, Revelation 1:3, the church is in absolute total disobedience. It says in Revelation 1:3, It says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and heed the things that are written in it, for the time is near. That's the mandate. That's the command. The time is near. The end is near. We need to know and heed the word of God. The church is in absolute disobedience until they repent. Professing church, truth will remain fallen in the streets and trampled by everybody.
Yeah, so Robert, do you think folks out there, hey Jared, go ahead and pull up it says sexual deviancy. Pull that up for me. Sexual deviancy. I'm keep circling back. I'm sorry. So is the purpose of this show to just do what you do on Sundays? You just go in there and hear, we heard a good word. Oh, it encouraged my heart so much, honey. Oh, I just felt the whole, is that what this show's supposed to be?
No.
Is that what church is supposed to be? Should you go to church and the pastor expose to you the falsehood in the world? Have you ever heard about Herbert Mancuso? Have you ever heard about the Tavistock Institute? When's the last sermon you had in your church on Saul Alinsky and how the left is operating, the infiltration? Has your pastor teach you how to recognize lies and how we're not to be ignorant of his devices? Or are we just to say, well, no, we're not going to, oh my goodness, we're not going to pollute the pulpit with politics? And my people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. I was thinking this morning, I got up there on the, I got on my buddy Webster up on the screen, and I was looking for deviant, D-E-V-I-A-N-T. It wasn't in Webster's dictionary. It wasn't in Webster. See, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There is such a thing as sexual deviancy. You understand that? Deviancy. Deviancy. And it comes from the term deviate. I mean, I'm at Webster's right now, and I tried to find deviant, and it was not a word. It was not a word in 1828. But deviate was, see, it's a math term. To deviate is to turn aside or wander from the common or right way. See, there is a right way. There is a right way. And not everybody can go their own way and call that the right way. Well, I wouldn't agree. I would never murder a baby, but who am I to tell somebody what they can do with their own body? See, that is a deviation. That is deviant. It's deviant. To turn aside or wander from the common or right way, course, or line, either in a literal or a figurative sense, as to deviate from the common track or path or from a true course. Their nature deviates, and here wanders will. To stray from the path of duty, to wander in a moral sense, to err and to sin. So listen, folks, I'm sorry, YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Twatter and Twitter. Homosexuality is a deviant behavior. It's a deviant behavior, by the way, now accepted by the church. We have people going to church living together. We have people going to church sleeping together. Why? Because we have not said anything about the deviation, about sexual deviation. Hey, Connor, pull up perversion. Perversion or pervert. P-E-R-V-E-R-T. Pervert. Perversion. What is perversion? The act of perverting, a turning from truth or propriety, a diverting from the true. See, there must be truth. There must be truth. If you divert from it, that's a perversion of the truth. See, a diverting from the true intent or object. Change to something worse. We speak of the perversion of the laws when they are misinterpreted or misapplied. A perversion of reason when it is misemployed. A perversion of scripture when it is willfully misinterpreted or misapplied, right? A perversion. So somebody who is having a man, I'm sorry, who is having sex with another man, that is a perversion. That is perverted. They're not gay. Hey, I'm just giving you Bible. Right? I'm just giving you Bible. So I remember the day not so long ago when you weren't allowed to get divorced. You weren't allowed to get... I remember the day when you courted. I remember the day when it was expected of a Christian they didn't even kiss before they got married. Somebody out there say amen so you know what I'm talking about, right?
And then I remember all that.
I get watered down. Perverted and perverted. So you screw around as much as you can. Finally, at some point, you find a woman and she's worn out and you're worn out and you get married and you have married. And they say that it's a perversion. And who is some, that truth has fallen in the streets. It's fallen in the streets. Now, stay with me just a second. So who would have ever imagined that the United States of America, under the watchful eye of the church, would permit men to marry men. Who would have ever, ever, in their wildest dreams, ever conceived such a thing? In fact, the Lord said that there are things that that you don't even speak about, things that men do in dark that you don't even speak about. And I'm sorry, my homosexual friends, that is sexual perversion, okay? Sex. Now, hang on. I'm about done, I promise. So we accept homosex, sodomy. We accept now sodomy-based marriage because, by the way, if the Lord made them that way, who am I to judge them? I mean, who am I to judge them? Yet, how soon will it be before pedophilia is legalized? Why? Well, truth's fallen in the street. Whose responsibility is it to make sure that pedophilia not only is never legalized, but isn't even thought of? Whose job would that be, I wonder? You say, well, coach, that's not going to happen. Oh, yeah, it's happening. How about this? How long will it be before they legalize incest? How long will that be? Well, truth's fallen in the street. How long will it be before the church is accepting, the church I'm talking about now, accepting father-daughter marriages? How long will that be? They say, well, coach, they'll never do that. There's health issues associated with it. Like there isn't health issues associated with butt sex. No health issues. You ever heard of AIDS? You ever heard of that? So that's not going to do it, right? Because they were born that way. He was born that way with a desire to screw his daughter. Yeah, I was born that way. Oh, wait, whoa. How long before? Because truth has fallen in the street, see? Your truth's not my truth. Whatever's good for you is good for me. Who am I to tell somebody they can't have sex with their dog? You heard me. Who am I to say that's wrong? Who am I? What am I? Canine phobic? Is that what I am now? Canine phobic? Because I don't think people ought to have sex with their pets? I'm canine phobic? Or artificial people? Sex with blow-up dolls. How long before you're going to be able to marry your blow-up? You see, folks, do you see what's troubling me today? Do you see? Because the average church doesn't talk about this. The average church doesn't give direction and education to the people to understand the battle that's going on around them and why it's so important to be committed, totally 100% committed to truth. And why truth is so important, and how when the church drops the banner of truth, it ends up falling in the streets as well.
Hey, coach.
We see our government openly lying and fabricating evidence. Hey, all's fair in love and war, right? Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, coach. Go ahead.
You like this? Our Tuesday night in the garage, our church in the garage, we had Pastor Bill. He walked in, looked at me, and when he gets that look, he says, "Jeff, we got to get these men out of this building." So we sit down, and the first thing he tells me, he says, "Hey, last week when Coach was here, he brought the topic of truth." So then he goes into, "We have cowardly Christians in the church today, not courageous." Then he went to where Moses instructed Joshua to be strong of a good courage, went through all this. He said, men, he said, we have nothing in the churches anymore today but bluster. He said, I am sick and tired of bluster. These guys got one of Robert's books at the end of it. And these guys are standing up afterwards saying, hey, you guys are inspiring me. You're encouraging me. I was like, well, then we're going to get you somewhere. So we're going to get these guys out and get them in the battle somewhere, somehow.
Because truth applies not just in the church. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, this we see the problem. It's pretty easy to point all this out, but there's one remedy, and there's only one thing that'll fix this, and that is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, Coach. This is the only thing that makes us different from a natural from the world. I mean, we can know all about Jesus and know all about God, but until we are filled with the Spirit, We won't make any difference. We'll try to fight it, and we'll give up, and we'll quit. We need the truth, the spirit of truth. That is what he is. He is the spirit of truth. So to try to attack this in any with any other tool and to leave out the Holy Spirit is a loser. It won't happen. Nothing will change. We have to have a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Coach, this is what we're going to have to see.
But you know what? Before you get that, you got to have repentance. You got to have putting off the intention of putting off sin. Then the Holy Spirit can come in and fill. But the Holy Spirit will not fill a vessel filled with wickedness and carnality and compromise. There's got to be that repentance.
I'm a trained listener. I'm a trained listener. Connor, go to Webster. Go to Webster's again. Because I heard it about four times. Go back, play the tape. I heard it about four different times. Holy Spirit. Holy. Holy. What is that, Connor? H-O-L-Y. Holy. Property. Properly, whole, entire, or perfect. In a moral sense. Hence, pure in heart, tempered dispositions, free from sin and sinful affections, applied to the supreme being. Holy signifies perfectly pure, immaculate, and complete in moral character. A man is more or less holy as his heart is more or less sanctified or purified from evil. We call a man holy when his heart is conformed in some degree to the image of God, and his life is regulated by the divine precepts. Hence, holy is used as a near synonymous with good, pious, and godly. Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holy is hallowed, consecrated, or set apart to sacred use, or to the service or worship of God. A sense frequent in Scripture as the holy Sabbath, holy order, oil, holy vessels, holy nation, holy temple, holy priesthood, proceeding from pious principles, or directed to pious purposes. Holy zeal. Holy anger. Holy. See, folks, we claim we have the Holy Ghost and we have no holiness. How can we have the Holy Ghost with no holiness?
Good, Coach. It's good. It's good.
And that's where
we are. Hey, Coach.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I give them books all out to the guys, and I told them, I said, guys, read them for the next week or two. Every day, do not miss a day. If you get nothing out of this, then bring it back and give it back to me. So yesterday, I text Pastor Bill, and I said, don't forget to read your daily devotion. He texts back, said, I'll do it tonight. Just as we're talking, he just texted me. He already opened it back up this morning. Here's what he said. Listen to this, Robert. Because I told him I'm going to hook him up with you guys down there when you come to Coach's house. He said, thank you, thank you. Dr. Klaus is spot on. I like the quote by Vance Havner today also.
Well, bring it to us, Doc. Bring it to us, Doc. What do we have today, November 21st? Hey, I'm not done yet. I'm just catching my breath.
Well, this hits it again, Coach, what you're saying. Now, like your show has a very important role to educate, to help people understand the times. Mighty men of valor have to understand the times. Okay,
The men of Issachar understood the times and knew what it is they needed to do. See, if you don't understand the times, you don't know what you need to do.
That's true. And that's a great aspect of your show. Okay, Vance Havner says, we're suffering from a believism that has never has believed in a receivism that has never received, and it leads to deceivism. The church is deceived. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're supposed to do.
No.
Okay, unity in warfare and caution in aiming. Christians don't have time to waste debating theology with made-up minds. We need to keep... We need to keep declaring what the Bible clearly teaches to those seeking to possess the mind of Christ. Those who have spiritual ears to hear will hear. No, Holy Spirit's there,
right,
teaching, convicting. Christian soldiers must speak and write precisely and predominantly on first principles pertaining to victorious Christian living. This will encourage and equip true kingdom seekers rather than discourage and extinguish their zeal with irrelevant doctrinal controversies. Christian soldiers would be wise to labor with all who are fellow workers and fellow soldiers, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, if at all possible, though they may often differ in minor details of life. That's what you promote here on the show. Let's major on majors, and let's get on with the battle, and just don't get all bent out of shape over non-essential teachings. We have a battle to fight and don't have time to sit in the barracks bickering over what translation caliber of ammo or denomination color of uniform our fellow Christian soldiers may wear, while our enemy, the devil, and his false teachers roam about to steal, kill, and destroy. Of course, in these last days of great deception and increasing apostasy, we must expose false teachers who preach false and distorted gospels and doctrines of demons. But there are those who are very orthodox in their fundamental doctrine, but who have taken upon themselves the role of the Holy Spirit in being the spiritual teacher and sanctifier in the lives of genuine believers. I am referring to those who believe that embracing a particular theological system or following a certain legalistic protocol is more important than simply loving God by keeping his commandments, pursuing holiness, and loving others in deed and in truth. Some Christians have become heresy hunters and trigger happy, seeing other true believers as heretics who have fallen from the faith, when such ones are likely those who either do not fully understand the faith or have not matured in their walk.
Man, that is it, right? I tend to give grace to believers because they don't know. They don't know. And why don't they know? Because the guy standing in the pulpit either doesn't know himself or doesn't want them to know. Or I don't know. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know what the reason is. See, they're murdering babies. They're teaching sexual deviancy to our kids. And the average pastor will not stand in the pulpit and say, we are going to go down and protect our children from this deviancy being taught in the school. Why? Because, pastor, I'm not going to have a millstone put around my neck and be thrown into the deepest part of the ocean simply because I was afraid to go confront the school board in the directions of our schools. And because of that, I'm going to stand before the Lord and I'm going to give an account for what I did and what I didn't do. And for me to know to do good and not to do it to me, it is sin. So for me to sit back and know that they are poisoning the brains of children and not do something about it, I am in serious, serious sin, no matter how much I preach holiness.
Amen, Coach. Hey, Coach, Apostle John had this same problem. And I'll show you how he addressed it, Coach. It was in 1 John chapter 4, and he says, don't believe every spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he teaches them, because why? Because Gnosticism, an old knowledge-based religion, had crept into the church. I won't get into Gnosticism, but that's what we're dealing with today, the very same thing. It has crept in the church, and it has changed everything. And we think truth is right, is true. We don't know the difference between truth and error. So here's John. He's teaching them how to know the difference. Right here. First John 3:24, Coach. It says, now he who keeps my commandments abides in me, and me in him. And by this we know that he, God, abides in us. How? By the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Coach, this is what we're talking about. Testing which spirit. We're trying to know what's truth and what's not. The only one way to find out. And this is what John was teaching these little children, the Christians, the church there. He's trying to teach them how to know the difference. And this is the only way. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. See, the church, they don't even know absolutely who Christ is. They don't see the picture of a historical Jesus. They have a distorted view of Christ.
Amen.
So how can they even know the difference between truth and error? You cannot. Our teachings in our nation has taught so much in error that we don't know the difference. So these people don't know. So we have to show them.
Randy, we think men can marry men. We think that. We think children can choose their gender at age 5. Randy, the churches believe in that, Randy. The churches believe in it. Connor, go to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8. See, while we have been saying you can't mix religion and politics, the devil's team has seized the political realm, the governmental realm. They've seized it. If I ran for Congress one time, and I ran for Congress as an unashamed Christian, and that scared some people, because why? Well, he wants to combine church and state. Well, do me a favor. How do you separate God from government? Can somebody explain that one to me? What is the basis of all government? What is the basis of all right and wrong? How do you separate those? But the stupid church doesn't get it, see? Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? I could stop right there. Does wisdom and understanding put forth her voice? Robert, does wisdom and understanding put forth? Are we supposed to shut up? She stands in the top of the high places. That's who does. Wisdom and understanding, they stand up at sky high. By the way, in the places of the paths, they stand where people are walking. Who does? Wisdom and understanding. She cries at the gates. What? Gates. I thought there was a separation between the gates and the church. She stands at the gates, at the entrance of the city, at the coming in, at the door. Who does? Wisdom and understanding. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. And all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse about them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Boys and girls, receive instruction, not silver, and knowledge, not gold. Because wisdom's better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I will dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. I, the fear of the Lord, Robert, is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth. He hates.
Amen.
Hang on a minute. I got to go to this last one before I get off of this Proverbs. Go to 36, Connor. You want to know who's on the Lord's side? It's so easy. It's so easy to see. Screw, no, stay right here, Connor. Go down to verse 36. Go down to verse 36. All the way down the bottom. 35, for whosoever finds me finds life. He shall obtain favor with the Lord. But hey, here it is. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That's why there's your marker.
Amen.
Hillary loved death. Obama loved death. Adam Schiff loved death.
Amen. That's right.
Pretty easy to see, boys. Not their death. No. They don't love their death. But they sure love everybody else's death, taking those little kids in there and raping little children, little babies. We know what's going on. We got a government that won't enforce it. Why? Because there's a separation between the church and state. Who am I to tell you what you can do with your own body? All those lies. And the church is sitting in the street, immersed with the fecal matter, just like San Francisco. The church has sat down in the middle of the street, and there's crap all around them.
Okay. Coach, you know what's sick? You know what's sick, Coach? You got all these bleeding hearts out there that until their mailbox gets hit, they don't want the guy that raped some other guy's daughter or wife to have his junk cut off. But they'll run down there and try to help a 7-year-old boy get his junk cut off. Now, you tell me that ain't twisted.
Buddy, you're there. You're there. Listen, I gotta finish up with this. I only got 5 minutes left. Polly Heath is struggling with, I don't even want to say the word, okay? Polly's having some medical issues. And Mike and Polly together are, how about this one? Mike and Polly are part, I'm not going to say them. They're one of those Christian health sharing ministries. Michelle and I are part of Samaritan Ministry. Michelle and I are part of it. Well, this health sharing ministry maybe won't cover Mike and Polly because it could be a pre-existing condition. Now, hang on here a second. Isn't the whole idea of health sharing, sharing in health? Now Christians and a Christian organization is going to argue over whether they will help you because it may have been a pre-existing condition. Are you kidding me? Did Polly know she had this when she went in for her surgery? Did she have any idea the degree of what was wrong with her? That's a pre-existing condition. What? See, it's not going to cost this ministry anything because the people are the ones who send the money in. The people do. It's not like it. So anyway, I'm fasting today for Mike and Polly Heath. I am. I began it last night. Who will fast for her tomorrow? Who will fast for them tomorrow? Just say, I will. Somebody says, I will.
I will.
I will, Coach.
No, okay. Who will fast for them on Saturday?
I will.
Who will fast
pray for them today, and I will fast for them too.
Who will fast for them on Saturday? Who will fast on? No, listen. Specific days. When you open up your mouth, that's your day to do it. Who will fast for them on Sunday?
That's me, Coach.
Okay, who will fast on Monday?
I'll fast.
Somebody else.
You're on. I'll fast the whole time.
I'll take that, Coach.
Okay, who will fast on Tuesday?
I got Tuesday.
I'll fast, Coach.
Okay, Tuesday. Who will fast on Wednesday? Who will fast on Wednesday?
Wednesday, Coach.
Okay, there you go. We've got those 7 days covered. Now, listen, if you want to jump in there and fast another day, you didn't say I will, but if the Lord leads you to do that, fast. Okay. So Scripture says that this type comes out only through prayer and fasting. So let's hold our brother and sister up in this battle. Okay, somebody want to say something?
Coach, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Heath. I'm in the fourth day of a water fast, water only. So I don't know when the Holy Spirit's going to let me stop, but I'm really encouraged to know that to sign up for this. And thank you for the idea, and thank you for starting your fast last night.
God bless. Amen. 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 He ain't heavy. He's my brother, right? And I'd love to do a teaching on this. I'd love to do a teaching on this. This is
yes.
Healing, the Bible said, is the children's bread. Folks, yes. We don't have to beg the Lord to heal us. We don't have to beg. You wouldn't make your own child beg you, would you? If your child was sick, your own child, would you make your child beg you? Oh, well, you haven't prayed enough about it yet, Tommy. Oh, keep praying a little bit more, Tommy. No. So there's a spiritual component here that we obviously are missing. All right. So let's spiritually take this to the Lord and then trust the Lord to do what his word says he will do. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, he wouldn't teach us to say, give us this day our daily bread if he didn't intend to give us bread.
Amen. Well, again, you wouldn't do that to your own kid, right? When Michelle and I were talking about prepping, that grandma's heart inside of Michelle, what did she say? She said, I can't tolerate the thought of our little grandbabies being hungry. That's a mother's heart. That's the father's heart. To beg God to heal us?
Absolutely.
Lord, show us what that is. Show us what that is, Lord. Show us that purpose that we're missing. Show us that vehicle. Show us that power. And nevertheless, thy will be done. God bless you. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner and must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. We'll see you tomorrow.